Thanks for tuning in to the Anchored Hope podcast. You can watch our services online at anchoredhope.church. Get into our series this morning. And our series that we've been in this during this time is called While You Are Waiting. And we've been talking about what do you do when there's nothing that you can do. But you know what? There's something I was thinking about this week. You know, there are some things that it's okay to avoid. Like there are things that we just don't like, things we don't like to go through that we're like, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna avoid that. And it wouldn't necessarily hurt you if you did. Like for instance, I don't like scary movies. I avoid scary movies at all costs. I mean, I'm not into horror. I'm not into scary. The last scary movie that I made it through was A Quiet Place. And that's not even that scary, right? I mean, that's like PG scary for some of you. But I mean, that's as far as I can go is like A Quiet Place. I mean, the movie Signs, I mean, that was even a little bit too much for me, okay? I mean, that's the kind of guy that I am. I try to avoid that. And sometimes when you avoid something that you don't want to go through, it's not going to hurt you. But other times, sometimes avoiding things we don't like will hurt us. Like for instance, something else that I don't like very much, something else that I kind of tend to push off, something I try to avoid is going to get my oil changed. You know, I just don't like going to the car place and sitting there and getting my oil changed and having to wait, and it's just kind of an inconvenience, you know? I don't like having to go during the day or in the early morning and scheduling it and all that jazz. And so, you know what? I don't like to do that, but here's the thing. We all know this to be true. If you don't get your oil changed in your car, it's not very good for your oil, right? I mean, it's gonna hurt your car. You gotta get your oil changed. It's just something that you got to do. There are some things that even though you want to avoid them, you can't avoid them, because if you avoid them, it's gonna hurt you in the long run. And that's exactly what we're gonna talk about today. We're gonna talk about something that you need to go through, something that you have to go through, that if you avoid it, it will actually harm you. Because there's just some things in life that we've gotta go through, no matter how hard it's gonna be, we can't put it off. And so, like I said, in this series, we've been talking about exactly that. What do you do when there's nothing you can do? What do you do when you enter a new normal? What do you do when you get handed a set of circumstances in life and there's no light at the end of the tunnel? There's no easy solutions. You don't know when it's going to end, how it's going to get better. You're perplexed. You're confused. There's a long road ahead. What do you do when there's nothing that you can do? And you know what? Some of us, we're going through that right now. You know, so many of my friends were set to graduate college, set to graduate high school, and now you're not going to be able to graduate, or at least you're not going to be able to walk across that stage and have your family and friends watch you and grab that diploma. You're not going to be able to have the graduation party that you had planned. You know, some of us, speaking of graduation parties, even here at the church, we had a baby shower planned. And you know what? We weren't able to do that baby shower how we would traditionally do that baby shower. We had to do a drive-by baby shower. You know, just people running around and rolling their windows down and chucking diapers out the thing. I mean, there's so much that's changed. Hey, some of you were set to retire. You're like, man, hey, a couple years, that's going to be it, you know, not too much longer. But now that's all changed. For some of you, even your career has changed. Some of you have been furloughed. Some of you have been sent home. Some of you have been laid off. Some of you have even lost your jobs. Hey, man, some of us were just planning on going on a decent vacation this summer. And now that is not going to happen. I mean, that can be hard when you go through that. And you know what? I would be willing to bet during this time too, you've also had just this different feeling among the people that you're around. I mean, some of you, you have been locked in your house with a lot of different people. Others of you, you have been locked in your house with no people, and it's felt quite alone. And I would be willing to bet that during this period, at some point in time, that there was something inside of you that revealed itself, that came out. You know, something that was a bit carnal, something that was maybe a bit dark, something that was a bit frustrating, something that you haven't seen in a long time, or maybe for some of us, you've never seen before. Maybe it was anxiety, maybe it was fear, but something came out in you that you did not like, and that most certainly the people around you, if or when they saw it, they wouldn't like either. And you know what? That's just it. In the past few weeks, we've all been confronted with our more carnal self, because as this goes on, the filters come off. Things come out of the closet. And you're probably thinking to yourself, I've thought it to myself, we've all thought it to ourselves, man, I can't wait to get back to normal. And when we say that, we're not just talking about our schedule. We're not just talking about our routines or our life. We're also talking about, man, I need things to get back to normal because I need to put this thing back in its closet. This attitude, this fear, this monster that's come out during this time that's revealed itself. I need things to go back to normal because I need to hide this again. I need to shove this back in its closet. And if we could just get back to the normal, it would go away. But here's the thing, man. If that monster, if that carnal part of yourself has revealed itself during this time, that means it's there. There's no denying that there's something there. No matter how deep the closet may be, there is something there. And here's the thing. If it showed up once, there's a high probability that it's going to show up again. Maybe not now. Maybe later. Maybe down the road. Maybe at a pivotal, important point in your life. Because guess what? COVID-19 is not going to be the last bad thing that ever happens to you. So it's going to come out and it's going to reveal itself. So here's what we've got to do. We've got to do a really, really tough thing, something that we don't want to do, something that we don't want to avoid. We got to reveal. We got to work on it. It's revealed itself to us. It's shown itself to us. So now we've got to do something about it. Here's my question to you is how can you be sure? How can you be sure that next time won't be like the last time? How can you be sure of that? We've got to be sure. We've got to find a way. And the only way to do that is to do something about it. So we've been talking a lot about Paul. Paul kind of had this ministry of resiliency and contentment. But today, we're going to look at the brother of Jesus. We're going to look at James. And James says something very, very important to us. And if you don't know the context of James at all, James was the leader of the first generation of Christians, the Christian church in Jerusalem. He was the leader of the Christian church that was fully Jewish there in Jerusalem. And so at about the time where he's converted, he wasn't a follower of Christ when Christ was alive. He became a Christian later. But as he becomes a leader in this church, he's actually leading them through a crisis. If you don't know your history, at that time, the Jews of Jerusalem were basically the poor of the poor. They were short on supplies, short on resources. They were the lowest class that there could be. And so their church was struggling. And so James, he leads them and he's responsible for this community during crisis. As a matter of fact, as Paul was still alive, Paul would tour the Mediterranean and would ask for donations and generosity from the Christian Gentiles that he was traveling around with. And he would send money back to James to support him and the Christian Jews. And so James is leading these Jewish Christians through a crisis, through a pandemic, through a very, very low point in time in their culture and in their history. And so James writes this letter to all the Jews that were around Jerusalem. And he does it, he leads them for 30 years is about how long he carries this burden. But he writes them this letter, and this is what he says. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, here's what's so amazing about James, is that James is able to say, hi, I'm James, and my brother, Jesus Christ, he is my Lord, and he is my Savior. Now, how incredible is that? I mean, that would be like me saying, hi, I'm Michael. I'm so glad you came to Anchored Hope to Church today. And Brianna Davis, my sister, is my Lord and Savior. Greetings to you all. I mean, if I ever said that, if I ever called my sister my Lord and Savior, either I got kicked really hard by a horse or I'm telling the truth. And so James here is saying, hey, greetings. I'm a follower of my brother. He is my Lord and he is my Savior. Which just, it gives his words so much more weight. For him to admit that, for him to say that, I mean, come on, if you've ever questioned whether this is true or not, this is a guy who's calling his brother his Savior. And so he writes this letter and he says, greetings to you all. And then this is what he says next. The first word he says is whenever. Now, this next verse is really familiar to you, and I'm going to change the order a little bit. I'm just going to swap because it makes a little bit more sense in this context, okay? And then once you read it, you'll know exactly what it says. And I'm not changing any words. I'm just swapping the order a little bit. But he says whenever, meaning, guess what? It's going to happen. So it's going to happen. This is going to come your way. So whenever it happens, because it will, this is what I want you to do. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, the Greek there for face means surprise, okay? Whenever you are surprised by many trials of many different kinds, meaning, you know what? There's not just going to be one kind of problem. There's going to be multiple kinds of problems, not just going to be COVID-19, but it's going to be a lot of other stuff on top of COVID-19. Whenever you are surprised by trials of any kind in this life, and then this is what he says next, consider. Now, this word consider in the Greek means to change your perspective. Meaning, here's the thing. It won't be your natural inclination. It won't even be truly what you want to do. So whenever, because it's coming, you face or surprised by any kind of trial, and it's going to happen, I want you to consider. Meaning at first you're going to want to do this, but I want you to turn your perspective this way, and I want you to consider to do it this. And this is what he says. Consider what, James? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Now, before you turn off your stream and go back to watching Netflix, okay, I want you to stay tuned, because I know what some of you are thinking. This is such a hard verse for some people, because here's what you probably hear. Here's maybe what's even been preached to you in the past is, hey, man, God's got this. So you know what? Just turn that frown upside down. Consider it pure joy that troubles are here because the Lord is with you. And I know how insensitive that sounds. I know how insensitive it even sounds for James to say what James is saying. And for some of you, what you hear is in the context of your experience, what you've been through in the past, is that you're just supposed to get over it. That you're just supposed to put on a smile. And I want you to know, look, that is not what James is saying at all. What James is not saying, James is not saying, hey, look, you just need to put a smile on. You just need to have faith, brother. You just need to consider it pure joy because God's got you and God is in charge and everything happens for a reason. That's not what James is saying at all. So don't change the channel. Don't turn to Netflix. Don't tune me out, okay? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying to not feel anger, to not be sad. The emotions that you've gone through as you've lost your job, as you've had a history of abuse, as your marriage has been broken. He's not saying consider it pure joy. It's all going to work out. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about something else. He wants you to take joy in an opportunity that you have in the midst of this adversity, in the midst of what you have going on. And this is what he's talking about. So this is what he says next. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith. Now, this is what he's talking about. When you and I, when we go through trials, when we go through really, really hard stuff, all of a sudden, it's easy to say, I believe in this, or I know that God loves me, or I know that God is with me. It's easy to say that when things are going really well. But when trials come, when we are surprised by stuff, we know that all of a sudden, because you know that this is a testing of your faith, all of a sudden the authenticity of your faith is truly shown. All of a sudden it's crystal clear what you truly, honestly believe. Because it's real easy to say all that good and holy and spiritual stuff when things are going well. But as soon as the circumstances change, we see what you're really made of. Your true faith, the authenticity of your faith is truly revealed. And we've talked about this before. What is faith? Faith in this context, this kind of faith that James is talking about, is your confidence in God. So one way that you could put it is this, is trials expose the authenticity of our confidence in God. All of a sudden we see how much was head knowledge, what you were taught as a kid, what you've read in the Bible, what your pastor has told you, we all of a sudden can see how much of that head knowledge is actually true in your life. How much did you truly adopt? How much did you truly put into practice in your life? How much of it truly stuck? All of a sudden, we're able to see what our faith is really made of. And here's the thing for a lot of us. A lot of us, when we go through this adversity, when we go through these trials, it's revealed to us that our faith is not as authentic as we once thought. One way you could put it is this, is when circumstance deteriorates, a superficial faith degenerates. All of a sudden, when it's not all sunshine and rainbows, we start to see a side of ourselves, we start to see a side of our faith, where we thought we believed, we thought our faith was strong, we thought our confidence in God was real. But it's revealed to us that actually, a lot of our peace, a lot of our joy was all balancing on our circumstances. It was all dependent on life being good. But all of a sudden that's changed. And it turns out we don't have the faith we thought we had. Now, that sounds really, really sad, right? I mean, sorry to be a bummer to you this morning on this rainy, dreary, wet, rainy day, right? I mean, I'm sorry, you know, now you're just like going to go by the window and be like, all by myself. Because you're like, man, you're right, you know? I mean, during this time, I have not handled this well. This carnal part of myself has suddenly revealed itself, and I've realized I'm not as faithful as I thought I was. I don't have that much confidence in God. And that when circumstances deteriorate, all of a sudden my faith, it does, it degenerates. And I've had a really, really hard time in this. But here's what I want you to have hope in, to have joy about. That is what James is telling you to have pure joy about. He's saying, look, this is great news. You've all of a sudden learned something about yourself that you couldn't have learned any other way. You had no idea that your faith was in this position. You thought it was all great, and it's been revealed that there is actually some work that needs to be done, that you are not as full of faith as you thought. And so, hey, that's great news, because guess what we get to do now? Now, all of a sudden, because you've discovered that, because you know that, this is what you get to do. Now you can go to work on restoring and strengthening it. Woohoo! Aren't you excited about that? Oh, great news. You've just found out that this weakness is a good thing, because now you can fix it. Now you can restore it. Now you can strengthen it. Now here's the thing. It takes a real weirdo to get excited about this kind of stuff. I mean, who in the world likes to hear, hey, woohoo, you're weak. Hey, woohoo, something's broken. You get to fix it. No, that's not how we react to when something's broken, when we have to fix something. You know what our first thought is when we have to fix something? Great, how much is this going to cost me? How much time is this going to take? I mean, you don't look forward to this kind of stuff, right? Nobody looks forward to fixing things, to restoring things, to strengthening things. No one likes to hear that they're sick or that they've got a problem or that there's something they need to get better at, right? Because then we got to go into fixing it, and man, then we got to, you know, we got to go, you know, look at it. And when we start looking at it, we learn, I don't know much about this stuff. I'm actually a dummy. And then we got to go ask questions and we got to do research. And then it's embarrassing because it shows how dumb you are. And, you know, you feel dumb and you're like, man, now I got to go ask questions and I got to go get help. And I don't like to get help because, man, it just makes me look, you know, this way. And so none of us likes to do that. Over this quarantine, I have to admit, I avoided something for a very, very long time that I didn't want to fix. So in my sink in our bathroom, you know these little sink droppers right here? I know you can't see it really well, but you know, this is a sink dropper, you know? So when you have your sink, you know, and this thing's up and you pull the little rod and it shuts and it opens, right? Well, this little thing all of a sudden fell and it was blocking my sink, this little sink dropper here. And it fell and it was blocking my sink. And so, you know, water and, you know, all this stuff, nothing was going down the sink drain. And so I started to look at it. So I took a little pair of scissors and propped it up and took it out. And I looked down the drain, and this has never happened to me before. And I could see a little rod sticking out, little something. And I'm like, okay, well, this little part here just goes down there and hooks on it. But I could never get it hooked. It was so small and so little that I could never actually get this stupid rod to go through this little hole. So do you know what I did for about, 8 weeks? Is I just balanced it on top of the rod. So I couldn't get the rod through the hole. So I just kind of gently kind of just laid it on there and just let it balance. And guess what? The water drained. It was fine. But then every couple days, you know what would happen? It would fall off the thing and it would fall again. And all of a sudden my water would be blocked again. And so then I would get Kate's scissors again and I would prop it back up and then I'd just sit it down and I'd just balance on there, right? And I didn't know what to do because this had never happened to me before. And I'm like, man, this is going to be really stupid if I call a plumber and he's like, what's your problem, sir? And I'm like, I can't get my sink dropper back on my thing, you know? I mean, that's pretty dumb. That's not worth the money. So I'm like, I'll just let it go. So every week, that's what I would do. I mean, I scratched the top of the sink dropper so much because I was getting these scissors. Every time it would fall, I'd, you know, get it back up and I'd sit it on there and stuff. And I was trying to understand. And then finally, just about a week ago, I was like, that's it. You know, Kate was kind of questioning my manhood, kind of challenging me a little bit. She even at one point was like, I'll fix it. And oh man, you know, when your wife says that to you, when something needs to be fixed in your house and your wife's like, I'll fix it. You're like, oh, challenge on. This is not happening on my watch. So I was like, I'm fixing this. And so I took my whole sink apart. I got underneath the sink and I just started unscrewing things and untightening things. And guess what I did? I took the whole bottom part of my sink apart. And man, you know what? I started to learn some things. And you know what I found out? I actually found out is that rod, that little part that I was seeing, is actually supposed to be a lot longer because it had actually corroded and broken off. And so I took that rod out and it was a sharp little pointy part of metal. And I'm like, oh, so it is supposed to be longer. That thing was never going to hook on there. So then I went to Lowe's like a man where all the other men are, you know. Lowe's is like Black Friday right now, by the way. And so I went to Lowe's and I went in there and they're like, do you need any help? I was like, no. You know, I went to the plumbing section and just bought all new things. So I bought all new stuff. I bought new rods. I bought new thingamabobs and new thingamajigs. And then I went back to the house and Kate was like, do you know what you're doing? I was like, ha, ha, ha. And so I went underneath the sink and I put it all together and I replaced a bunch of parts and I actually made it even better than it was before. And I got that sink dropper on there and I mean, that thing is just going up, down, up, down, up, down, right? No more balancing. Everything is efficient. Everything's very pretty. Everything looks replaced. It was even better than it was before. Well, here's the thing. I know that was a very long story and you're like, what in the world does that have to do with anything, okay? Here is my point. My point is that some of you in life, right now, you have a sink stopper that's not working. And for some of you right now, you're like, how much work is this going to take to fix it? I don't know anything about this, and I don't want to look stupid, so I'm not going to ask for help. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to balance the sink stopper. I'm just going to set it at the edge here, and I'm just going to hope it holds up. And we all know that that'll work for a little bit, right? That'll work for a couple days. That'll work for a couple weeks, maybe even months, maybe even years. But we all know that that's not the way that it was built to work. So eventually it falls off and that sink dropper goes back down. And then we have the same problem again. And here's the thing. For some of us, we've got to be able to go to work. For some of us right now, we know that there's a problem. We know that there's a problem in our marriage. We know that there is a problem in our finances. We know that there's a habit that we have. There is something that is broken in our lives. And here's the thing. James would tell you, consider it pure joy. Get excited. Because you know what? This has actually been broken for a long time. There's actually been all kinds of corrosion and things that have been building up for a very, very long time. And the thing is that it's just now snapped, okay? So now you know, but guess what? Consider it pure joy. You know that this is a testing of your faith. You know this is a testing of your contentment. You know that this is a testing of your persistence. So here's the thing. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to work on yourself and on your marriage and on your confidence with God. It's time to go to work on your finances and your spending. It's time to go to work on your health. It's time to go to work on your attitude. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, because now we know what needs to be done. And you know what? We can make it better than it was before. We can do some great work and we can restore it and we can do some awesome, awesome things. But for some of us, we are not willing to do that. For some of us, we just want to balance the stopper on the rod. But here's the thing. If you do that, it's not going to get any better. It's just going to get worse. Eventually, it's going to fall back down. Eventually, something worse could even possibly happen. And so you've got to be willing right now to make a decision.
How long are you going to live with this? How long are you just going to keep pushing that monster back in its closet and hope that it goes away? Here's the thing, it's not. It's going to come out. It's going to reveal itself. It's going to cause damage in your life, and it's going to hurt the people around you. You've got to go to work. And then this is what James says. He says, here's why you should do this, because here's the thing. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know this. The testing of your faith, it produces something in you. It produces perseverance. Trials exercise our faith. I know you all know this because you're all big, buff, and bad, but do you know how a muscle gets bigger? A muscle gets bigger by using some sort of tension underneath that muscle. And tension over time, what it does is what's actually happening with your muscle is as you flex, as you extend that muscle, I know, right? Jeez, hold up. Turn the camera off for a minute, okay? Then all of a sudden what happens is you're stretching that muscle, okay? You're taking that muscle and you're stretching it as long as it can go, and then you're coming back. And then you're stretching it a little bit more. You're adding a little bit more tension, a little bit weight. That's how exercise works. That's how you grow a muscle. Here's the thing, what we know, this testing of our faith is producing perseverance in us. It's stretching us. And then guess what? We recover from that. We come back from that. And then we learn to master that weight. We learn to move that weight. We learn to control that weight. And then that weight gets easier. And then what do? We move up in weight. We move up. We add a little bit more tension. We stretch that muscle a little bit further. That's what you're going through right now. This trial, this adversity, is this has just revealed itself to you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, because this is a chance to get stronger. This is a chance for perseverance to be produced in your life. Now, I know the stinky thing about this is that you didn't choose this exercise. This is like an ambush. This is like if Club Fitness showed up at your house tomorrow, right? Or even worse, if I showed up at your house tomorrow with CrossFit and I was like, here we go, all right, you know? I mean, you'd freak out. All right, that's what's happened. Adversity has just come a knocking at your door and is intended to do terror. But I want you to look at that adversity in your eyes and just consider them your personal trainer, okay? Just take that adversity and picture it with a sweatband and little short shorts on, okay? And go like, all right, it's workout time, okay? We're about to produce some perseverance. We're about to stretch these muscles, all right? Let's get after it, because that is what is in front of you. You have this awesome opportunity. And here's the thing, is in the middle of this, you've got to use it, but as you use it, you can't leave the workout early. This is what James says. So you've got to choose. Let perseverance finish its work. Now, this is the hard part, right? This is like when you start a diet, and like 2 weeks in, you lose 5 pounds, and you're like, I'm getting there, I'm getting there, I'm getting there. And then you see a donut and you're like, I did lose 5 pounds. I mean, I'm doing really good. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. It's one donut. I mean, 2 weeks I've been good. I mean, one little meal wouldn't, you know, one little cheat meal wouldn't hurt me, you know. I think I'm gonna go for this. No. You haven't finished your work though yet. You gotta stay on point. Here's the thing, in the middle of this perseverance, you can't leave the workout early. You gotta finish. We still got time on the clock. We still got reps that need to be had. You've got to let perseverance finish its work. In other words, don't bail out on the process. I know you want to get through this. I know you want to get back to normal. I know you want this to be over as soon as possible, but don't leave just yet. You got to let perseverance finish its work. What God is doing in this trial, what God is doing in your life, He is bringing purpose to this pain. He is showing you that you can be happy again, even happier than you were before. He's showing that something good could come out of this. And right now, as you're in the middle of this, I want you to know that you're drawing closer to God than you ever have before in your life. One way I want you to think about this trial, this adversity, is this. The thing that we wanted removed is the thing that God has chosen to use. God isn't behind this, and God didn't do this to you. But here's the great thing. You got to let perseverance finish its work, because in the middle of this, you're drawing closer to God than you ever have before in your life. Another way to put it is this way. is the tension in our life is the epicenter of God's activity in your life. So here's the thing, as you're praying for God, God, take this away, God, end this, God, get us back to our old normal, God, please, 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 please. Here's what I think God is saying to you based on the words of James, is that God is saying, look, I know you want this to be taken away, but can we just hold on and use this? Because you've never prayed to me more than you've ever prayed to me now. You've never talked to me more than you've ever talked to me now. You've never worshiped me like this before. I've never seen this emotion. I've never seen this transparency from you before. And you know what I'd like to do? Instead of just pushing this off or fixing this for you, what I would like to do is I want this thing to not be removed, but I want to choose to use it. And this tension in your life, I want it to be the epicenter of my activity in your life. And we all know that's true. We all know that right now, in the midst of this, not only has our faith truly been revealed, have we truly seen just how real our faith is, how authentic our faith is, but the truth is that for some of us, this is the closest to God we've ever been, the most dependent on God that we've ever been. We've never had a trial like this where we've had to choose to have confidence that He is bigger than all of these problems. That He has our back, that He loves us, that He is working all things together for our good. I mean, this is an awesome, awesome opportunity. And James says there's an outcome to this. If we choose to stick in this fight, and we choose to see this as an opportunity, and we go to work on restoring and strengthening our faith and ourselves and our confidence in God, if we choose to use this and we stay in the fight and we don't leave the work out early, this is what happens. Then he says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What happens when you stick through this and you fight through this? What happens? Perseverance is produced in your life. And what does perseverance produce? It produces a maturity in you. It transforms you. God's Spirit transforms you to the point where you are complete, where you aren't lacking anything. I mean, in other words, when you do this and when you go through these things, you grow up. You know, I bet there's a person in your life around you, someone you see, you're kind of envious of them. Like you look at their marriage and you're envious of their marriage. You look at their attitude, their confidence, and you're envious of it. I mean, you look at how they're able to, you know, control their finances and budget and be able to, you know, buy the things that they buy and do the things that they do and help the people that they help. And you're like, man, what is it about them? I want to tell you the secret, okay? That person that you look up to, the person that you wish that you had what they had in their life, here's what they have. They grew up. That's what they have. Here's what they have. They act like an adult. When there's a problem in their marriage, they act like an adult. They talk to each other. That husband, that wife, they talk to each other like adults. They handle their anger like an adult. They handle their finances like an adult. They handle their health like an adult. They parent their kids like an adult. Here's the thing. That person, what they have that you don't have is maturity. They've grown up. That's what they've done. And here's the thing, and I say this as gently as I possibly can as your pastor. Some of you just need to grow up. That's the biggest problem in your life. And here's the thing. Some of us, we all have different advantages and disadvantages because of the way we were raised, because of the atmosphere we were raised in, because of what we experienced as we grew up. And I understand that. But here's the thing. That's why it's even more important. As this adversity has come into our life, whenever we face troubles of any kind, consider it pure joy. Because guess what? I know you weren't taught this as a kid. I know you didn't grow up in a home where these values were handed to you. I know that maybe you're new to Christianity and you've never understood grace and mercy and generosity and all these things, but that's okay. Because guess what? Now you have a great opportunity for it to be produced in your life. You have this opportunity to gain perseverance, to grow up, to mature. And that's why it's even more important for you to take this opportunity in front of you and to use it. Consider it pure joy. Because guess what? Some of you through this are gonna grow up and start to act like an adult. And then James goes, and I get it. I know some of you don't know what to do. And so this is what he says. He goes, so here's the thing. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. I know you're in a situation where you don't know what you should do. So you know what you should do? Ask God. You know what God does? He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you don't know what you should do, then you need to ask God. You need to use every single resource in front of you to be able to try to figure this out. But here's the problem, right? We all know this to be true. Let's be honest with ourselves. The thing is that we don't want wisdom. I want relief. The truth is that some of us just want a stimulus check. Some of us just want loan forgiveness. We don't want to work our way out of debt. We don't want to figure this out on our own. We don't want to have to put the work in. We just want relief. We just want the plumber to come over and to fix the stupid thing. We just want mommy and daddy to come in and swoop in and do what they've always done and fix the problem for us. And I get that. And I know that that's part of our culture. But here's the thing. You've got to do the work. You've got to be willing to get under the sink and to learn and discover what you don't know. And I know that that's tough. I know that that is humbling. But let me tell you something. I don't know nothing about sinks, but now I know just enough to fix a stupid sink dropper. But you know what? As humiliating as that was, as humbling it was to have to ask a few people questions and to try to understand it, as they said, well, of course it's this. And I'm like, don't say of course. This is not generic information to me. You know what, though? As I started to get underneath that sink and I discovered what needed to be due, and then as I put in the work in, do you know what new feeling was replaced with being confused with that humble feeling? You know what new emotion was replaced? Pride. I was proud of that sink. You come to my house, and if you want to tour my house, probably the first thing I'm going to go show you is, well, let me show you what I've done to my sink recently. You see that dropper? It didn't always used to work like that. It does now, though. Pretty nice, isn't it? Yeah, it's a little scratched up, but I'm going to fix that, right? I mean, I'm pretty stinking proud of this sink right now. And that's the thing, man. I know that it's humiliating to admit that you don't know. I know it makes you feel stupid. I know it makes you feel weak. I know it makes you feel small. But here's that thing. If you put the work in, if you go to work, if you stay in this fight, you let perseverance finish its work, and you do what needs to be done, that feeling of humiliation, it's going to be replaced with pride, because you're going to be proud of the work that you've done. You're going to be proud of what you fixed, of what you were able to accomplish. And you know what? God wants to do that in your life. And here's the thing. Some of us, we don't have a marriage we're very proud of. We don't have a checkbook we're very proud of. We don't have a health we're very proud of. We don't have an attitude we're very proud of. We don't have a set of emotions that we're very proud of. Some of us during this adversity or during this COVID-19 pandemic, we're not very proud of who we've been during this time. Here's the thing. It doesn't have to be that way. You can have a story worth telling once this is a story to tell. You can get underneath that sink. You can start to go to work, and you can discover things, and you can learn things about yourself, about your family, about your spouse, about your kids, about your coworkers, about your job, about your career, about your finances, and you can better yourself. And God can give you the wisdom that you've been looking for. And God can transform you from the inside out, and he can give you that life that you wanted, that life that you can be proud of. That life that can be a legacy, that can touch another life around you. But there is a warning. James gives us a warning. This is what he says next. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now here's my warning to you, okay? Is that once you find out what you need to do, you got to go to work. You got to do it. And here's the thing. If you ask and God says, well, this is what you need to do. This is what you're supposed to do. And you go, well, that doesn't fit my agenda. You know,
sorry, can't do that. Nope. That doesn't work for me, and just not going to do that. Look, if that's the way you take God's wisdom, if that's the way you take God's advice, and you go, well, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't work for me. That doesn't fit my agenda. Then here's the thing. Those people should not expect to have any consistency in their life. Perseverance will not be grown. You know what those people should expect to have? To live a life on a roller coaster, full of ups and downs and corkscrews and all different directions. Those people are like a person in the sea, and every time a wave comes, they're blown back and forth. Every time the wind blows, they go that direction. If bad stuff happens, they feel bad. If good stuff happens, they're good. All their life is going to be built on their circumstances and people bailing them out. So here's the thing. This is my warning to you. If you ask God for wisdom, but you don't like what God has to say, and you choose to ignore it, and you choose to just keep letting the sink stopper balance on the rod, then what you should know is coming is a life of constantly being tossed back and forth. But if you do choose to listen to God's wisdom, if you let perseverance finish its work, if you stay in the fight and you're willing to humble yourself and you're willing to get underneath that sink and discover what you don't know and you're willing to ask questions and get help and get people close around you who have been there before and you're willing to admit, I messed up, I'm stupid, I'm ignorant, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. If you're willing to do that and you're willing to stay in this fight, then perseverance will finish its work. And what you will find is that God will give you the wisdom that you need. And you, inside of you, you will begin to mature. You will be able to become an adult. You will be a better spouse, a better parent, a better coworker, a better entrepreneur, a better person that spends money. I mean, you will become better. And guess what? That is a story worth telling when this is just a story to tell. And that's what my prayer is for every single one of you. Choose to take this adversity and let it grow you. Can I pray for you real quick? God, this morning, as we've gathered together and as we've talked about this, God, for some of us right now, there is adversity in our life and we want it to go away and something has been revealed to us. God, would you this morning give me the courage to stay in this fight? Instead of despair, would you help me to see this as an opportunity? An opportunity to be able to go to work, to restore my faith, to strengthen my faith, to come to you and to ask for wisdom. And God, as you give me that wisdom and as perseverance is produced in me, I pray that I would stay in the fight. That even though I didn't choose this trial, that I would let you use this trial. That this would be the epicenter of your activity in my life and that you would do something in me and through me, God. Would you transform me from the inside out? Would you use this even though you're not behind it? So that once this is just a story to tell, it's a story worth telling. We love you, God, and we thank you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
If you're ready to take next steps, we'd love it if you'd visit anchoredhope.church. And if you'd like to support this church's mission in leading people to a growing relationship with Jesus, we'd love it if you'd make a donation at anchoredhope.church/give.